Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we focused on Jesus' healing and compassionate hand. Though Jesus did not need to touch the leper in the gospel story, still he did, out of compassion for him. Anyone who touches someone who is unclean, according to Jewish law, becomes themselves unclean. Yet when the Lord reached down and touched the leper, he did not become unclean. Instead, Jesus healed the man and by his touch made him clean. Jesus has the authority to heal the sick and to make clean, but what can he do for those who have already died? We have another encounter in our gospel reading for today. Here, we are given witness to two different processions. On the one hand, the Lord is heading toward the town of Nain, and he is followed by a great crowd. For at this point in his ministry, the fame of Jesus is all around. His mighty hand, they say, has cast out demons by his authority. He is taught as one who possesses his own authority. He has healed people of their diseases, and so, of course, the people are naturally attracted to him and follow him, wanting to see more. Great crowds gather around him, all wanting to touch even the hem of his garment. They all want to hear and see him at work. All this buzz and excitement around Jesus is a positive procession of life. But coming from the opposite direction, on the other hand, just outside the city gates, there is a different sort of procession. There are people in this procession who are wailing and mourning, for this procession is led not by Christ, but by the hand of death, who touched a young man, the son of a widow, and is now being carried out to his place of burial. This widow has lost her only son, like the woman in today's Old Testament reading who encountered the prophet Elijah. In Jesus' day, this woman's son's death would have meant that she would likely have no other option but to live the rest of her life as a beggar, with outstretched empty hands, just to provide for the necessities of her life. She now is completely and totally alone to live this life of sorrow, overshadowed by the hand of death that touched her by taking her husband and now her only son. What will happen when this procession led by the hand of life meets the procession led by the hand of death? What will happen when death and life touch each other? We know already, all too well, what happens in this world. We've seen it time and time again. We know from experience that when life touches death, death always seems to snatch life away. It doesn't matter how old or how young, when death touches life, it always seems to get the upper hand. For those of us who are still living, the touch of death can have a long-lasting impact. Death, of course, was first brought into this world through the grasping hands of our grandparents, Adam and Eve. We all have wrought death for ourselves by the work of our hands, earning what the Apostle Paul called the wages of our sin. And since then, death has had a firm grasp on us. But now it is all coming to a head. The Lord of life, followed by his entourage, is coming head-on to meet death and its grieving band. As they approach Jesus, Jesus has compassion. The Greek word for compassion used here by Luke is splagizomai. And it's a reference that is used exclusively to Jesus' kind of compassion. It is a gut-wrenching, excruciating kind of compassion. For the Lord Jesus is not indifferent to the touch of death upon his people. Quite the opposite. He sees this sorrow as they carry this young man upon the bier, and their sorrows become his sorrow. He has compassion for them all the way down to his very core. And what does Jesus do with this compassion? He stretches out his hand. Just like our reading about the healing of the leper last week, there is the concern of becoming unclean by touching a dead body. And yet, Jesus in this moment reaches out and he touches the bier, and the bearers stop. Jesus' hand stops this procession of death in its tracks, and he says to the mother, "Do not weep." And then to the lifeless body, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The effect of Jesus' words are immediate and transformative. No longer dead, the young man sits up alive. Not only that, he opens his mouth and he begins to speak to the mourners at his own funeral. The people at last knew that Jesus was coming with prophetic power. Like Elijah and Elisha before him, Jesus raises a woman's only son and gives him back to his mother. But Jesus is still more than a prophet. Elijah and Elisha relied on the hand of the Lord to act, but Jesus acts of his own power and authority, for Jesus is the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord touches death, he gives life. When Jesus touches this procession of death, he transforms it into a procession of life. There are so many more examples of the Lord bringing life out of death, the kind of things that only God can do. The same mighty hand of the Lord also raised Jairus' daughter. He took her by the hand, and she stood up from her deathbed. He also raised his friend Lazarus after 4 long days in the tomb. In a total reversal of what we would call the natural order, whenever the Lord touches death, death is swallowed up by life. This great reversal was forecast by those prophets of old. Not only Elijah and the widow's son, but also Elisha when he himself died and was buried in 2 Kings 13. The scriptures record that Moabites came into the land and another man was being buried. He was thrown into Elisha's grave alongside his lifeless bones. As soon as that man touched the bones of Elisha, he too stood up, no longer dead, but alive. God even turned the very place of death and the lifeless bones of his messenger into a life-giving fount. But you know, friends, every instance in the Bible of the dead being raised up to this point was but a mere shadow of the life which Christ came to bring. The raising of the Moabite man, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and even Lazarus, these were all only previews. They were coming attractions for the still greater life which Jesus was about to bring, not through the death of the prophets, but through his own death. For all those people that were raised from the dead prior to Jesus' own death, they all died again. Though they worked great signs and wonders, all the power and authority of the prophetic office was borrowed from that mighty hand of God. But here again, our Lord Jesus is greater than those prophets who came before him. Though he took on our humanity, Jesus is not human only. He is also fully God at the same time. So then, what will happen when Jesus, true God, touches death in his own body? This we see him do on Calvary's cross. Here he was led on a procession of death, forced to carry the rough-hewn instrument of his own death, taking the just penalty for our sin, even though he did not sin. He willingly came into contact with death firsthand. He was crucified, died, and was buried. But remember, when the Lord God touches death, he works life, and even his own death would be no exception. 3 days later, Christ Jesus rose from the dead, and unlike those who came before him, he rose never to die again. He defeated death once and for all. This is the kind of resurrection that St. Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians 15, which Pastor Edwards just read, where he refers to Christ as being the first fruits of the dead. Just as the work of prophets and the miracles of Jesus foreshadowed his victory over death, so now his resurrection from the dead serves to foreshadow our own resurrection. Jesus has broken death's hold on us. If God can use Elisha's lifeless bones to raise the dead, then how much more will the living Christ work newness of life in us? If we are thrown into the grave with him by baptism into his death, he is strong to raise us up even as he was raised from the dead. And this is precisely what your Lord God has promised you. As St. Paul writes, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." When Christ touches you with his life-giving hand, death is stopped in its tracks. When his authoritative word is spoken to you, your sins are forgiven. And now death no longer has any power over you, for it is in subjection, as the apostle writes, to your Lord Jesus. Though we still suffer the effects of sin in our body and life, which bring about death, we remain united to Christ. We have put on the imperishable, the immortal nature of our Savior. And so, when Christ returns again in his great procession on the last day, our bodies will raise, following after him. Christ, the resurrection and the life, has given you his victory over the grave, and by his word and sacraments, he continues to work new life in you, both now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.